Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. It's always good to speak to this audience over the radio and over the internet, and I am particularly keen to share this message about Jesus, his love, especially and even for his enemies. And the fact of the matter is that Scripture teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have turned away from God, whether through ignorance or malice or a combination of the two, that we were all once God's enemies in our hearts, opposed to Him, wanting to do things our own way. But now we have become His friends. Paul speaks about it this way in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since then we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and it puts in a very clear way the love of God that reaches out to His enemies, to those who are against Him. And today, as we think about this Scripture, I want to draw your attention to three people in Scripture who represent God's love for people who were set against Him. And some of these you'll wonder about because of how the story turned out. And another you'll wonder about because it seems like this was one of the friends of Jesus. But I'm going to name three people who had a very challenging relationship with Jesus because of their own faults. The first is what the person we often call the head of the disciples, Peter. The second is that one who betrayed Jesus, Judas. And the third is someone who persecuted the church, who hated Christians and the whole message of Christ so much that he was willing to see people imprisoned and put to death for their faith. And then he came to meet Jesus. His name was Saul, a Jewish boy who, a Jewish man who believed strongly in the faith of the Jewish people that had been passed on to him through the Pharisaic teaching and opposed Christianity, was an enemy of Christ, and then was found by Christ and saved by Christ. So we have these three characters, and in looking at their lives, I'd like to suggest that wherever your place is, whether it's someone who is trying to follow Christ but finds barriers in your own life and in your own habits that are keeping you from walking faithfully with him, or whether it's a great burden of sin you're bearing, something you think you can't come to God to because it's just too great, or whether you are someone who's got a history, someone who's got so much in their past that you might think that God is finished with you. We see in each of these scriptural examples that God's love for his enemies keeps on coming. So let me begin. Let's start with Peter. Peter, you might say, was a good guy. And certainly, he had so many great characteristics. He was bold and impetuous, and that often made him do great things and sometimes got him into trouble. He was someone who seemed to be a good religious person, carrying out his trade as a fisherman and wanting to be right, but finding Jesus and discovering a whole new life in Jesus. You might think that there wasn't too much wrong in Peter's life. He seemed like a stand-up guy. But when he first heard Jesus' teaching, he was drawn to this teaching. And when he saw that Jesus was a man of God, a prophet at least, the first thing he said was, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." What was it in this good, upstanding man, in this family man, that made him afraid when he discovered that he was in the very presence of God's servant, Jesus Christ, that this wasn't just another rabbi, but someone special? What made him worried that he didn't belong with that person? Well, Peter identifies it immediately. He knew he was sinful. He knew that his life didn't measure up to the glorious life of God. The love in his heart and the hardness of his heart both testified that the love wasn't strong enough and the hardness was present and challenging his obedience to God. So Peter knew himself to be a sinner, and he wondered why he was on the same boat with Jesus at that time. Of course, Jesus welcomed him. Jesus showed him that the love of God extended to him, and Peter continued to grow in understanding and in faith and in love. But still, from time to time, we find Peter not quite where he wants to be, not quite where God would like him to be, not quite ready to accept all that Christ calls him to do. For instance, when Peter first confessed that Jesus was the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Messiah sent to earth, when he first confessed that, he was on cloud nine because Jesus said, "Good for you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you." And yet the next thing that Peter says, as Jesus starts to speak about his death on the cross for the sins of the world, Peter says, "Oh, Lord, this will never happen to you. You don't need to do that." And Jesus rebukes him severely, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are thinking in the ways of man and not of God." Can you imagine Jesus rebuking you so smartly, so harshly? That Jesus needed to let Peter know that even though he had some things right, he still had a long way to go. That Peter shouldn't rest on his laurels, but should listen and submit to the teachings that Jesus was giving so that he would know the right way. Peter also, as you know, disappointed himself greatly when he denied Jesus on the night of Jesus' betrayal and trial. Peter really felt that he had really let down his Lord, that he had more than denied him, that he had betrayed, he'd turned against his friend by saying that he didn't even know who he was. Peter wept bitter tears for having failed Jesus. And perhaps some of our listeners have wept bitter tears for their failures, for the times when they feel that they've let God down. And I'm not here to say that you haven't let God down. Many of us, all of us, have let God down. But here's the good news. Though Peter wept those bitter tears, when Jesus rose from the dead, he came and called Peter and brought him to himself and received Peter again, allowed Peter to three times affirm his love for Jesus where he had previously denied it three times. And then Jesus gave Peter a new trust, saying, "Peter, take care of my flock." Here was someone who had let down Jesus, and Jesus wasn't going to give up on him. Jesus was going to call him to new service, to new levels of trust and obedience. And as Peter went on with his life, he continued to grow in grace. And the life that he wasn't willing to lay down for Jesus on the night of his betrayal, Peter laid down again and again in sacrificial service and finally in martyrdom, able to say to the last that Jesus had been faithful to him. And he was able finally to continue in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. That's one of the stories of grace of God towards someone who let him down, who failed and wasn't perfect in his obedience. God continues to love people like you and me who continue and calls us to keep coming back to him for help and forgiveness and strength. Well, that's part of our message today, and I do want to have you listen to a song in which Greg Sabel expresses his thankfulness to God for the great grace that he's received. So won't you listen with me to this song, which is simply titled "Thank You," from Greg Sabel's album "Here to Stay."
I just want to say, before I go my way, I'm so thankful, Lord, for all you've done and all you have in store. So much more than I could ever ask for. And I wanna sing of all the joy you bring to my life each day. No one, nothing can take that away, 'cause I'm forever changed. Thank you,
thank you,
thank you,
thank you.
It's so much more than words can say,
more than words can say.
Thank you,
thank you,
for all you do,
thank you.
You've been so faithful every day, yeah, yeah. I just wanna say, before I leave this place, I'm so grateful, Lord, for giving me a song to sing. Now I wanna give you everything I have, and I wanna tell you of the way I feel about your love. It's incredible, unconditional, and I'll never know how to thank you enough. Oh no. Thank you,
thank you,
thank you,
thank you.
It's so much more than words can say,
more than words can say.
Thank you,
thank you,
for all you do,
thank you.
You've been so faithful every day, See, I never have deserved it. No, I've done nothing to earn it. It's just the way he works in you and me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so much more than words can say. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
For all you do.
Thank you.
You've been so faithful every day. Hey, and I just want to thank you. You've been so good to me.
Thank you.
And I just want to praise your name.
Thank you.
Oh, I can't thank you enough. No. You've been so faithful every day, and I just want to praise your name.
We thank God for his grace towards us and the perseverance which God shows in loving us even when we fail. And we may think that God's love comes to an end or has a limit. For instance, in Jesus' ministry, he said very harsh words to the Pharisees, to people who resisted him and strongly set themselves against him. Jesus warns them repeatedly, and after reproving them in gentle terms, he turns to harsher terms. And this may seem like he's given up on these people with the kinds of difficult things that he says. He calls them whitewashed tombs, describing those people who look all good on the outside but are corrupt on the inside. He warns them severely. But here's the thing, that God warns in order to turn people from their wickedness so they may live. Way back in the Old Testament, when one of the prophets was speaking to the people of Israel, the people of Israel were having trouble accepting the message that God actually loves people, even who are wicked. And God says, "Do you think that I want the wicked to die? No, I do not want the wicked to perish. I want them to turn from their wickedness and live." That message is so evident in Jesus' life that even as he sternly rebukes the Pharisees, we see some Pharisees, little by little, people like Nicodemus and Gamaliel, who seem to be turning towards Christ, recognizing in the strength of the rebuke something of God's infinite love reaching out to them. And likewise, we see one of the people closest to Jesus who falls far short of the mark, and that would be the betrayer, Judas. Judas was a disciple of Jesus. He had been called away from his life as a tax collector, and he had become the treasurer of the disciples' money as they put their money together to do the work of God. And Judas seemed to be following Jesus all the way along, but there's indications throughout the New Testament that Jesus knew that Judas' heart had not become right with God. He notes to the disciples in kind of cryptic terms that there's one among them that is not with them, but is against them. He notes specifically at the Last Supper that one of them will betray him. And John is privy to the interaction in which Jesus identifies Judas as the one that he knows has set his heart against Jesus. And yet, even in that circumstance, look at Jesus' treatment of Judas. Judas, he still calls friend. He appeals to him. Even when the kiss of betrayal comes, Jesus addresses Judas as a friend. Why? Why, friend? And here's the thing. The scriptures do speak about Judas being doomed, that Judas, God foresees that Judas will be the one who betrays Jesus. But some people seem to think that this means that God decided to abandon Judas. Here's the thing, and this is something for all of us, wherever we are in life, that God did not abandon Judas. Judas abandoned God. Even as we watch the events unfold after Jesus' death, we see two people wrestling with their failure. One is Judas and the other is Peter. Judas shows that he's sorry. He goes to the Pharisees and throws his money at them and doesn't want it anymore. He knows he's done something wrong. Peter also weeps bitter tears and knows that he has failed his Lord. But the two of them respond to this failure in different ways. Judas gives up all hope. Judas despairs of Jesus ever welcoming him back after the sinful thing he's done. Peter comes close to that precipice, but he hangs on. He hangs on and perseveres. Oh, for the perseverance of Peter, to know that through the dark night, you just have to hang on. Joy will come with the morning. Peter hung on and didn't reject the possibility that Jesus might somehow allow him to come back into a faithful and loving relationship with Jesus. He somehow held on to hope, and I encourage all people going through dark, dark nights to hold on to hope. Judas, having betrayed Jesus, I do believe firmly that if he had repented and come back to Jesus, if he had believed that Jesus could forgive even him, that the story would have ended differently and the prophecies would have been different. But God saw from the beginning that there are those who will hear all the good news, who will experience the touch of Jesus in their lives, who will know every grace, and despite all the love that God showed Judas through his life, Judas could not surrender, whether it was pride or anger or disappointment with God. Whatever it was, he couldn't let it go and turn back to Jesus. Whatever caused him to betray Jesus was not an unbreakable barrier, for God, through Christ, was willing to break every barrier down to make his enemies his friends. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is good news for each of us. This is also a warning for us to not give up hope, but to persevere, to even through suffering, persevere and find character, hope, and the love of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul writes about in Romans. My third character is a joyful story of someone who started off really on the wrong foot. Saul was a young man who'd been trained in the most rigid rules of the Pharisees. He was proud of being Jewish. He was proud of God. He felt himself to be right with God. And in his pride and in his sense of rightness, he went and persecuted Christians. He even handed over some to be killed, and he approved of the stoning of Stephen when this whole thing started. Saul had every reason to believe that if he turned out to be wrong, that he was in deep trouble. And one day he was on the road to Damascus and he found out he was wrong. He'd found out the life he had been living was wrong, was false, that Jesus was in fact Lord, is in fact Lord, and he found himself at a complete crossroads in life. All that he had done before was loss, and he himself confesses it. He found a Christ who died for him, even him, an opponent of Christ, an enemy of the church, someone who had killed people that Jesus saved. And yet, Jesus still received him. God's love for his enemies, that death on the cross was as much for Saul as it was for you and me. It's as much for you and me as it is for Peter, and it is for all the other disciples. God demonstrates his own love for us, so that we might be justified by the blood of Christ and be saved from God's wrath through him. What good news for all of us, whether we find ourselves in the footsteps of Paul or Peter, or even if we find ourselves feeling we've done something unforgivable like Judas, the grace of God still reaches out to you to repent and turn to him. Let's turn to God in prayer now. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for all your love. We thank you for persevering with us. Help us to persevere, to hang on to faith, even through our darkest times, and to turn to you always for forgiveness and new life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now as the show closes, I invite you to listen to one more song after the announcer says his part. This song is also a song of Thanksgiving, Thankful by Mary Mary.
It on my own. Every move that I made, can't say I never been wrong. When I fell, you picked me up again, though I brought it on myself. I can always depend on you whenever I need help.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.